Hello and welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast. We are in OKC at the Women's College World Series. It's been something or other 700 days, and we made it. I am joined by my co-host, Rhiannon Potke. Rhi, how are you doing today?
I am doing great after a really, really epic opening day. It was so exciting to be out of the stadium, just to be in the presence of softball fans and everyone. There was so much normalcy that I was so great. Like, it just felt like this is, you know, and there was more excitement. The stadium's bigger. Everyone was excited to be back. The games were great. They were all really, you know, pretty close. And we had a huge upset to kick it off. It was just awesome. So I'm flowing with the adrenaline of softball madness here in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, we did have, I mean, game one of round one of the World Series, JMU shocked the world, beating Oklahoma 4-3 in extra innings. Odyssey Alexander was simply brilliant in the circle. She held that OU offense down all game long. She gave up one bomb to Jennings. Rhi, what did you enjoy about that game? Because we were sitting next to each other, and that was just, I think that may be one of the greatest games I've ever witnessed at the Women's College World Series.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I was saying, after we didn't have a Women's College World Series last year, God was on softball's side by giving us that one to kick it off. Just, you know, the legacy of Odyssey Alexander's continues. I mean, this is another chapter. Like you said, that offense, you know, averaging like 11 runs. It was just a ridiculous runs per game. And, you know, what stuck out to me, it was just, they weren't intimidated at all. They looked like they were just so loose and comfortable. And I think a lot of people, like in the softball world, aren't super surprised because they know JMU regularly plays like, you know, really tough schedule, and they're pretty, like, they're reputable mid-major. But even when you get here for the first time in program history, you think there'd be a little bit, they look like they were the home team half the time, aside from the, you know, 10,000 fans that were wearing Sooner colors and cheering. But JMU had their little contingent there. So that was, and you know, what really stuck out to me too, is their big players came up in the big time. I mean, you had Sarah Jubas with the early 3-run home run, and then Kate Gordon, who was in a hell of a slump. I mean, she was 0-for-13 before that at bat in the eighth inning, where she hit the game-winning home run in the eighth inning, the solo shot. And she had been 0-for-13 entering, and in the tournament altogether, she was like 2-for-21 at that point. She just stuck with it, and those are their big guns, and they came through. And that's what, if you're going to win titles, you need your best players to play when it's required. And all three of those players came through.
Yeah. That was game one. And so we're thinking there's no way we can get another game like that. And then we go into game two with Oklahoma State and Georgia. You know, it looked like the Cowgirls were, you know, had a sizable lead, but then those Georgia bats came alive in the seventh, and, you know, Everly got into a little bit of trouble. There were some miscues on defense, but all in all, the Cowgirls came out on top, and, you know, Georgia was trailing 3-1 down to their final outs. And Rhi, what have you got about that Georgia Oklahoma State game?
Yeah, Georgia, I mean, really had some really quality at bats there. They were making Everly work. They were fouling off. They crept close. I mean, it was 3-2, and they had runners on, and it got a little nervous time for some of the Cowgirl fans in attendance. Another basically home game against an unseeded team here. The unseeded team's got like the home teams right off the bat. But yeah, I was really impressed with Georgia's, you know, just, I mean, they're very aggressive at the plate, but they also have very discerning eyes, and that those young players, you can see their maturity kind of ticking up, and going against a pitcher like Everly, it's not easy, you know, but they're steeled from the SEC, and they've really gone on a run here lately. So they came close, but I think, you know, Everly being kind of a vet, even though it's her first time here in the World Series, because she obviously transferred to OSU, just kind of, you know, she was gritty. It wasn't her best yesterday, but it was a very gritty win. And that's kind of what you need. And then Cheyenne Factor with the that 2-run home run, who, much like Kate Gordon, she was in a big slump coming in too. She 0-for-7 in the Super Regional. And she acknowledges much after in the, you know, the media, saying, hey, yeah, I needed that to get off the snide there. And another crucial play too that in that game was Haley Busby in right field throwing out a runner at the plate, which once those runs started crossing in the seventh, how much bigger that play looked. You felt like it was big at the time, but then it just got bigger and bigger as the game progressed. It was just a really, really great play, you know, deflected off the infielder into right field. And she just approached it perfectly and gunned her out at the plate, and a great tag too by Reagan right there at catcher. So just a fun game. I mean, it was like, you know, right down the last out, I was like, wow, that was great. You're just sitting there. I went outside to stand with the fans because I like to experience, you know, and it was just, it had you grip the whole game, which is what you want when you get to these games.
Yeah, I agree with you in that Georgia offense, especially in the seventh, I think they really made Eberle work. I really noticed that in the seventh, they just were drawing a lot of pitches. They weren't swinging at balls and made her bring that drop ball up in the zone. And I think had they done that probably most of the game, they would have been a little bit more successful at the plate. But you did see them, like you said, exactly what you said, Ree, in that seventh inning, they really came back with that fight. And just another great game. So we had two great games. So then we had a break in between the two sessions. We're thinking we can't get games any better than this. And then we've got Bama, Arizona, and Montana Fouts just is lights out in the circle. 16 strikeouts, tying her career high at the Women's College World Series. I mean, I was behind the plate in the first inning watching her throw, and she chucks it. She straight up chucks it. She throws the ball hard and it jumps really late. That rise ball is very hard to pick up. And I said, you know, I'm glad I don't have a bat in my hand today because it looked pretty much impossible. What were your thoughts on the Bama Arizona game, Ree?
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, Fouts, and you can make a claim. She's been the best pitcher in softball, especially these last few weeks. I mean, she double digit strikeouts every time, and it's against quality opponents. She's just been amazing. And I mean, this is the Montana Fouts that we saw the trajectory as a freshman. We thought this would be, and then last year was weird for everyone, but she kind of was a little bit worn out last year from other things other than just college. And so it was a little bit of a down, but she's come back, you know, with guns blazing, and she's worked to do it. And just ridiculous. Like you said, I mean, that, you know, that the movement on her ball at that speed, and it was with, you know, her idol Jenny Finch in the stands watching, cheering for the opposing team, which was pretty cool to see that because she had, you know, really idolized her growing up. Just everything about her personality, just her composure. She gets fired up for her teammates in the dugout. She's not one to go sit like in a corner. She's really, you know, it was just amazing. And that Arizona offense had finally kind of felt like it found its groove entering the College World Series. But I think anyone against Montana Fouts, it wasn't more the Arizona offense. It was just more her. And other than a Jesse Harper home run, you know, the last at bats there, which tied Arizona's all-time career record with number 92 and drew her closer to Lauren Chamberlain from the NCAA record. That was really the only, I guess, quote unquote, mistake you could say Fouts had. And by that time she had enough cushion, Bailey Hemphill with a home run, but just, you know, she's just been masterful. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. I've just really enjoyed watching her pitch.
And how about the Abby Doerr pinch hit home run? I mean, like you just said, Patrick Murphy just seems to know when to put in a pinch hitter. And then she, you're like, oh my God, he's putting in a pinch hitter. And then the ball gets out the yard. Just super happy for her too. And it seems like Alabama is clicking on all cylinders at the moment. And we'll preview their game tonight in a little bit. But let's get into the last game of the day. UCLA taking on Florida State. It was the late game. It was our fourth game of the day. Still needed some coffee in the stadium. So if anybody realizes where to get coffee, please let us know. So that was the UCLA FSU game. Rachel Garcia got the start in the circle. Megan Framo is still not in OKC and is day to day per Kelly Inouye Perez, the head coach. So looks like we're going to see Rachel for the tournament. And she threw really well last night against Florida State. And so did Catherine Sandercock, to be honest. She was impressive and kept the Bruin hitters off balance most of the game until they broke it open with Maya Brady, that monster shot to deep center. Ree, what do you got on that UCLA FSU game?
Yeah, that was a deep shot, two-run home run, man, by Brady, which welcome to World Series, Maya Brady. I expect Florida State's MO all year is great pitching, and Sandercock's been great all year. Her and Caitlin Arnold trade off. you know, some might question, like, do you bring in Watson? And then she gave up the Maya Brady home run. But, you know, it was as good as Rachel was, Florida State was getting runners on base. It just, they, you know, they weren't able to get any runners home. So I think that, like you said, with Megan Framo possibly not even appearing in Oklahoma City, I mean, to be honest, if you're seeing a specialist at this point in your day to day, like, I just don't think you're going to come back and be, you know, be able to do anything. I mean, usually you need more rest than a few days if you're seeing a specialist. So Rachel, you know, is going to have to, you know, be the workhorse mainly. And I think the best part about that is that they've kind of, she hasn't pitched a ton this year compared to some of the other big guns in the country. So she's, and obviously with the Olympics coming up, I think some of that was planned out with that too. So she's got some innings in her and she's a gamer no matter what. So, but yeah, it was a good kind of like ease in game, I think, for UCLA a little bit. And that's pretty much how Florida State plays. It's not like huge to run totals. They manufacture runs. They try to get, so it kind of played out to what I expected. I think UCLA probably would have maybe wanted to put up a few more runs, but you know, you just come away with the win and that's all that matters. And it's going to need to be the Rachel Garcia show, which we saw here, you know, worked pretty good 2 years ago.
Yeah. So the Bruins won 4-0, and shout out to Anna Vine. She had an incredible day at second base. She made that diving play up the middle, gloved it backhand through the runner out. And then she was 2-for-2 at the plate and really started that rally as well. She had a great game, and the Bruins will play tonight against the Alabama Crimson Tide. Tonight is the winner's bracket. So we've had late games. We've had the morning to kind of get some rest because sleep is hard to come by these days. But we've had some rest this morning. So let's preview the night game. And tonight we've got JMU and Oklahoma State, and we've got UCLA and Alabama. Reed, talk to me about the Alabama-UCLA game.
Yeah, that's going to be, I mean, just amazing. I'm assuming they're going to pitch Garcia in Fouts, although they do have Lexi Kilfoyle, who's been better, but I don't know if you put her in this spot. I don't know. Patrick Murphy, he pushes all the right buttons. So if he thinks she's ready and you still have, you know, Fouts in either or in the bullpen, it's great. I'm just, whoever's out there, it's going to be awesome because these two teams, I mean, the tradition, you know, it's just, they go about a little different ways, and Alabama's really, it's been amazing to me because of their injuries and because of, you know, they find a way to get everything done. Granted, having great pitching like that helps to kind of be the fulcrum, but Patrick Murphy's got the pulse of that team. They just seem really united playing against a UCLA team that we're still kind of learning about, to be honest. I mean, I don't think we know fully what this UCLA team, I don't think they've reached their peak. And with Bubba Nichols starting to try to come back a little bit, she got the start yesterday, so maybe she's getting more comfortable. It's going to be – I honestly don't know what to expect because, like, you could – you know, this could go 100 different ways. I mean, if you have two ace pitchers like that, it could be a pitching duel, or both these offenses could decide, like, you know, we're going to break out a little bit. But I do expect it to be a somewhat of a pitching duel no matter who's in the circle. I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be really, really just, and you know, the stadium's going to be really electric too, because those are just two programs everyone looks forward to watching.
And what's really interesting is that the Bruins have never lost to Alabama. They are 10-0 against Alabama. So wow. I know, isn't that a crazy stat? I cannot believe it, but it's true. So Bama has never beat the Bruins. So tonight is going to be an interesting matchup. I think it's whoever can play good defense, because the pitching is going to be good pitching. So whoever can make the fundamental plays, stay solid on defense and have timely hitting, I think that's who's going to pull it out tonight, but it should be a great game. So that's UCLA and Alabama. Then we move to JMU and Oklahoma State. Both seem to be hot right now. I mean, Odyssey Alexander was brilliant in the circle. You got Carey Eberle, and then you also have Kelly Maxwell on the other side for the Cowgirls. So what do you think, Ree, about who's going to be in the circle tonight for both those squads?
Well, Alexander will be in the circle. I mean, there's no question. They have, I mean, Alyssa Humphreys is a great freshman backup. She's great. But, I mean, Odyssey will pitch 700 pitches if it's required. We've seen that. We know. She's not coming out unless she's, like, you know, I mean, she will, but if they take her out, but she's going to get the start. This is nothing for her. It's one game. So I'm interested to see really with the Oklahoma State side. Like, I would think they would go with Eberle, but they could go Maxwell and have Everly just ready to go. You don't know. That's the thing. That's the one question I'm going to have and be interested in either way. I mean, it's going to be.
Remember last night in the press conference at the end, he was saying, you know, Carrie's really honest about how she's feeling. And she was tired at the end of the game there, and you could see it. Right. So who knows, like, depending on how Everly feels, I think you could go with either. I think you're right. I think you could go with either.
Yeah. With JMU, I'm 99% sure. I mean, like I said, but I just don't see that. I think you just ride it till it runs out of gas, and Odyssey has never really run it. She had one little blip in the regional, but came right back. And since then it's been lights out again. So yeah, that's the only intriguing part to me is maybe who Kenny, the Oklahoma State head coach, decides to go with. But they have really two quality options. I mean, Kelly Maxwell's not, you know, it's not like it's a huge drop off. I mean, Carrie's great, but Kelly is a good pitcher. So it'll be interesting. JMU, man, like, they're just a really sound veteran team that has, you know, nothing to lose. And I loved what their coach Lauren Laporte said yesterday. She said, we're basically not happy to be here. We want to win. Like, we're here, let's win. And that's kind of the attitude you have to have at that point. And you know, after a win, like, the only thing is the letdown factor, but I don't really see that with JMU. I just don't see that. I think they're too mature, too veteran, too grounded in reality to have a super letdown. And this is not like it's a, you know, this is another high quality opponent. So you really can't overlook anything here.
And that's tonight on ESPN2. So we've got JMU versus Oklahoma State. That is the first game, 7 p.m. Eastern.
Eastern. That's what we were trying to, yeah, Eastern
time. So JMU, Oklahoma State, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2. And then Alabama and UCLA, the late game, once again, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. So for all of you on the West Coast, that's 6:30. Pacific.
And all of you in Oklahoma City, it's like, that's the thing. There's like all you, and if you're here, if you're local, just everyone goes, why do you go Eastern? Just, it's, everyone does Eastern, folks. So
we're, I mean, if you're here in Oklahoma City, you should be at the game. So we'll see you there. And yes. It's sold out. That's what they announced at the field yesterday. That tonight was sold out. So excited to see a packed house at Hall of Fame.
13,000 now. That's how it is now with the expanded seating. Which is, it's awesome. It's really a cool, I mean, and you don't, it doesn't feel, I mean, it looks crowded, but it doesn't, it, and it, it is kind of crowded, but it's perfect. It, like, the looks of it. I mean, I just think it's, you know, it was really cool yesterday. So I'm excited to see it at night sold out, you know, it's going to be electric, I think. And the temperatures here have been great. I mean, they haven't been overly hot. Like, it's not oppressively hot. I mean, it's obviously still hydrate and wear sunscreen hot. But there's a nice breeze sometimes. It's not like in the hundreds. So it's been like, you really couldn't ask for better weather for this, for this year, which is awesome too, to have that, because, you know, there's not much shade up in those newly expanded bleacher seats up there. So,
I mean, I've been to quite a few College World Series, Women's College World Series in Oklahoma City. And I must say, knock on wood, this is probably the best weather I've ever experienced. So if you are around, or if you're thinking about heading out to Oklahoma City, we recommend that you do, because there just really is nothing like softball and the Women's College World Series. And it happens once a year. Well, once every 2 years because of the pandemic. But this year we got
health pandemic.
come on out and join us. We've got those two games tonight. Ree, anything to add? Final, what are your thoughts on Oklahoma City? Are you enjoying your time here?
Yeah, no, I mean, spending any time in a softball field is, I mean, a joy. So, like, and especially one that everyone loves the sport, and it's so cool. And, like, it's just cool to see the enhanced. We got the Olympic team here. They're playing, like, they were just playing right now against, you know, so they're out there. So there's just a lot to do. And you can just feel like once you get out there, everyone's just a lot, you know, everyone's happy to have it back. And it's kudos to the, you know, everyone that's put it on, and the teams and everyone. They've really done a great job, and everyone's always super friendly, and it's just a pleasure to be here. Oklahoma City's always, I love on it. It's kind of funny, cause the hotel, like, there's an oil derrick, like, literally in a field next door to me, like, this pumping oil, like, it's just in the middle of like highways. It's just like this one little plot of land. That's what I love about Oklahoma City. It's like, you just find like stuff like that. I saw a little kid in a cowboy hat playing bocce ball this morning too, which was very interesting as well. So where can you get that sort of stuff in one city?
Only in Oklahoma City, I think, probably. Most probably.
A few cannabis stores too. There's a lot of cannabis stores. A lot of cannabis stores here.
Yeah. You know, it's a great place to be. Come on out, join us. That's it for the D1 Softball Podcast, special edition live from the Women's College World Series. And maybe we'll get back on in a few days. Maybe tomorrow. Why not? We'll chat about it.
Yeah, we'll be back on. We have we got to write stories too. So check on d1softball.com the stories are immense. We've got tons of stuff. So if we're not doing a pod, there's usually a reason. It's because we're cranking out stories on the site and doing social media. And so we will get on. We'll definitely try to have at least a few pods while we're here.
Like, subscribe, d1softball.com. You can email us at info@d1softball.com. Download your podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, and let us know if you'd like to hear anything. We're always loving to hear from our listeners. Have a great Friday, and we'll see you at the ballpark.